This is AENN, American Exceptionalism News Network.
Everybody is to leave here immediately. This cafe is closed until further notice. Clear the room at once.
How can you close me up on what ground?
I'm shocked to find that gambling is going on in here.
You're winning, sir.
Oh, thank you very much. Everybody out at once.
Round up the usual suspects.
2-1-1-0.
I know some people want me to bypass Congress and change the laws on my own.
It is the agenda for the 21st century you're living in today. For a brave new world where everything that you cherished and held true will no longer exist.
The original Constitution, I think it is an imperfect document, and I think it is a document that reflects some deep flaws.
And that would authorize him to use the military to arrest people in the United States who, in the president's opinion, are enemies of the country.
You'll find that they've also asked for the right to imprison farmers who wouldn't keep books as prescribed by the federal government. The Secretary of Agriculture asked for the right to seize farms through condemnation and resell them to other individuals. And contained in that same program was a provision that would have allowed the federal government to remove 2 million farmers from the soil.
These government Republicans and Democrats were busy shredding the last vestiges of the Constitution. They're talking about inserting the army into domestic law enforcement. The homeland is part of the battlefield, and people can be held without trial, whether an American citizen or not.
I have been often to, the mothership in New York City, but it's good to have an outpost of the council right here down the street from the State Department. We get a lot of advice from the council, so this will mean I won't have as far to go to be told what we should be doing and how we should think about the future.
Take off the tinfoil hat
and put on the Kevlar.
It's time for battle with Paul Preston and the Agenda 21 Show.
Well, hello and welcome to Agenda 21 Radio. This is the radio show that is stopping totalitarianism one exceptional American at a time. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, are you that exceptional American? I suspect you are. Anyway, so welcome to the show. A lot of things going on here on Agenda 21 Radio. And remember to visit our website, agenda21radio.news. And also newcaliforniastate.com, newcaliforniastate.com. I'll tell you, this is perhaps one of the greatest things going on is newcaliforniastate.com. And as we're going to reveal to you in the third hour about some of the other groups that are out there, it's very, very telling what is going on with New California State and also Tim Draper and Jefferson and so on. We're going to be explaining those things. Anyway, so welcome to the show. Like I said, a lot of things happening, and Red State Talk Radio is a talk monster. We're broadcast every day from live, anyway, from 6 to 9 out of Washington, D.C., and with us right now is Scott Adams of the Scott Adams Show. We asked him to stay over for the second hour because we just really have some rich content that needs to get out there, especially in the context of what's going on right now with Donald Trump in the NATO arena. He's over in Europe. He's going to be there for several days. He's going to be visiting with Vladimir Putin on the 16th of July. And if you had listened to the first hour, we sort of teased you for the second hour. And like I said, it's so rich in content, everything that's happening. We're trying to lay it out for you here on Agenda 21 Radio. And also, I know Scott Adams is going to be doing this again tomorrow. He's going to be giving some details. And we'll probably, ask Scott, since Scott is with us right now. Maybe we'll just play upon this maybe even some more next, maybe tomorrow or Friday. Because this is the build-up to Monday, I guess, is going to be kind of a critical thing as well, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. That's going to be exciting. And in fact, it was interesting to listen to Donald Trump say that, you know, who knew that it's going to probably be a little bit more of a challenge to work with NATO and our European so-called allies than it will be with Vladimir Putin. And I think he has a really great strategy waiting in the wings for Vladimir Putin, and it's going to be probably a series of offers that are going to include, carrots and sticks. You know, if you give up Crimea, we give you we remove the sanctions. If you give us more information about Uranium One and right the wrongs, you know, who knows? There is talk about a direct connection and parallel with the July 16th date being significant. And one of the things that I find interesting, again, as you were saying, we have a president that has a very strong curiosity about certain things that involve the deep state, that involve the Clintons, that involve the wrongdoings of the world. You know, I'm still not fully satisfied with Barack Obama and his whole place in the world and how he got to where he was. I still have skepticism about these things. I know that Trump does, but Trump also is very familiar with the Clintons and what they've been up to. And we were talking before the break about JFK Jr. and how he died on July 16th and how
1999
about the July 16th date for Vladimir Putin. And you say, well, what would the connection be? And the connection to me would be that, you know, the date that you choose to get the Uranium One information to take down Hillary Clinton, July 16th, could be the answer or the basically the homage to Clinton's probably one of their most famous involvements, which would be to take down of JFK on that same date.
Back in 1999, and that's when JFK Jr. was killed in a plane crash. And, you know, it's kind of interesting. You fast forward to the situation with the birth certificate and the death of Loretta Fuddy, who was an Obama supporter, and she ended up being placed into the position of health director for the state of Hawaii. And she was the one who held on to the she had the keys to the kingdom of Obama's birth certificate, and she's the one who ultimately released it. But she was killed, oddly enough, in a very strange plane crash. From what I understand, they contaminated the fuel in that plane off of Molokai. She was flying from the Big Island or Oahu to Molokai, and she crashed and then drowned. And she was the only one who drowned in the plane, which is interesting. And she's seen alive exiting the plane, by the way, which is kind of an interesting scenario. But I just find it interesting. She dies in a plane crash at sea, just like Kennedy did in 1999. And that was following the release of Obama's long-form birth certificate, which Trump was pounding on the table to get released, as you recall. And just sort of a little caveat to this, which is kind of something that people might not understand, is that Donald Trump, who was pounding on the table for the release of this this birth certificate, once it was out, it was turned out that that birth certificate was actually a fraud as well. But Loretta Fuddy, oddly enough, is known to have been associated with a Muslim cult group known as the Subuds, and President Obama is a Subud. Now, isn't that interesting?
You know what else is interesting? Ron Brown also died in a plane crash with a gunshot hole in his head. So,
and that was in Croatia, I believe, or in the Balkans somewhere.
Right. So it's not abnormal to see these planes going down and then a lot of weird stuff happening to boot. But also you think about political adversaries. You think, okay, Arpaio went over to Hawaii, and next thing you know, he's facing jail time. He gets a pardon from Trump. The Hammonds, right? The Hammonds, the ranchers,
right.
The Bundys. Once again, they're involved with Uranium One, and they're in jail. The president, what does he do? He gives them a pardon.
Right.
These are all
Bundys get the pressure from
accidents. But then also remember, Dinesh D'Souza found himself in jail because he wrote a movie, you know, did a movie against Barack Hussein Obama. And you can now look to Jim Jordan and what's been happening with him with the smears and the deaths surrounding Jim Jordan. Again, this is the deep state cabal, the big government, taking you down, taking you out, making you pay the price, busting down doors to Manafort and Michael Cohen. And this is the big government going against its own people.
Well, you know, what's really interesting is that you mentioned Opire with the birth certificate, and it was actually his investigator, Zulo, and Jerome Corsi, who did the investigation. In fact, little historical note, I actually did the interview with Jerome Corsi as he was in the Social Security Department in Honolulu. He was actually there, and in the background you can hear Zulo going through file cabinets, and they're going through various files. We're just interviewing him right there on the show, and it was very, very interesting. But that's what got Joe Arpaio in trouble, was all the investigation into that birth certificate issue, because it was Obama's grandmother who worked there at that the health department there, and kept all the vital records for birth certificates and social security numbers and things like that. And it was, of course, Arpaio who was investigating that and exposing all that stuff about Obama. But yeah, you're right. It's a very curious type of arrangement where all of a sudden all these people are dying off, and why. And it's all kind of curious death. I want to go back into the John Kennedy Jr. death, though, and the significance of the 16th, which, of course, is what you're saying, is uranium-1 information, I'm sure, is going to be posited with the president by Putin. Now, here's the other little caveat to that. It was Michael Flynn who first received communication from Putin by way of his ambassador, and that's what they really wanted, was that note, that information that was communicated to Michael Flynn by the ambassador just before President Trump took office, which got Flynn in trouble, which, of course, now we're finding out that Flynn is actually doing a reverse spy investigation of Mueller and everybody else because of his treatment that's going on, which is kind of a nice little flipping of the script. But in that note that was given to Michael Flynn by the ambassador was all the linkage, all the syndicates, all the different organizations that were involved with child pedophile rings worldwide, coming in through Russia in St. Petersburg and being flown all over the place, all these children and all these different things going on. It's just absolutely sick stuff. It's a reason why Putin cut off adoptions of babies from Russia to America just a few months before that. Now, he's going to get this information about uranium-1 probably on the 16th, but already has it, I'm sure. But it's sort of, symbolic date against Hillary Clinton.
Right. And here's what's interesting, too, is Putin is a tough guy, but he's a nationalist. He's a populist. Mm-hmm. He is a pro-Russia guy. He doesn't mind a tough negotiator like Trump. What he wants, though, he doesn't like all of this radical Islamic snake oil stuff that goes on like this. I really believe
that's right.
That he looks at the globalists as the greater evil, and I think he looks at Trump as someone he can deal with. I mean, at least you know what you're getting. You know what I mean? You step up to you step on the mat and you compete. What happens with the cabal and the deep state and the kind of stuff that goes on in the European Union, where everybody smiles to your face and stabs you in the back, I don't think Putin likes that. I think he likes a straight shooter, someone who's willing to duel mano a mano. He's no slouch. He's not an altar boy. But on the same token, I think he thinks he can get along better with someone like Donald Trump than he can with a bunch of snakes that you just don't really know where to trust. And so I think he looks at this as an opportunity to take part in the takedown of the globalism movement, because we're seeing, again, Sadiq Khan overthrowing London Stan. Mm-hmm. We're seeing England with Boris Johnson exiting and a bunch of foreign ministers exiting. We're seeing Angela Merkel lose grip on power, and we're seeing the rise up of a more conservative nationalist movement that is going to work with the Europe and Russia and America to stop this refugee migration that's destroying the world, and this globalism movement that's going to overpower and dominate Russia. I think Russia wants to go back to more bilateral arrangements where they're not outgunned by the entire continent of Europe.
Well, and that's a great explanation, and you got to keep in mind, people need to understand that Vladimir Putin has been one of the staunch fighters of this radical Islamic terrorism that's been going on, because, again, you know, it's been Russia that has really been suffering at the hands of these radical Islamic terrorists as well, the Sunni Muslims in particular. And you got to remember that it was Vladimir Putin who started bombing ISIS in northern Iraq, trying to prevent them from getting more money from the oil that they were stealing out of the Iraqi oil fields, and then trucking that oil over to Turkey, where Erdogan's son was brokering all the oil out of there, and then payments were being made for ISIS. It was Scott Bennett on this radio show, and also at the Liberty Tour in July 11th, which is interesting, that's today, July 11th of 2015, in which he explained in quite detail what happened to terror financing and who was behind it. It was that video that was produced, and Vladimir Putin saw it a month later, because we got the confirmation from Russian TV, RT, that Putin had seen it, and then guess what? A week later, he starts bombing ISIS. It was the verification that he needed to prove that Obama and Hillary Clinton actually created ISIS, were financing ISIS, and of course that connects right directly to people such as James Comey, who was there at Hong Kong Shanghai Bank making sure payments were made properly to ISIS. Hello? James Comey. Yeah, that guy who became the FBI director after Robert Mueller. You can't make this stuff up. You just can't make it up.
And Trump is outsmarting them all, because he's actually working right now on, even though Erdogan doesn't like Trump, he's working on behalf of Turkey right now because of the oil deal that Germany's getting through Russia, but also the other part that is the this missile shield. They're saying they're not getting their fair share either. So Trump is working out a very interesting set of angles to get some of his biggest enemies out of there. To actually, he's working on their behalf on certain elements of this whole negotiation. But in the end of the day, who was the person? Was it Putin or was it Obama that was responsible for the refugee crisis coming out of Syria?
It was Obama, because it was Obama who started the Arab Spring in 2009 when he went over to Cairo and demanded that the Muslim Brotherhood be seated in the very front row of the theater where he was speaking. And Mubarak, of course, was protesting that because they were outlawed. In fact, they had been, many of them, in prison for years. Yet Obama demanded that the Muslim Brotherhood be let go. And, of course, from there, Morsi took over Egypt, and the Arab Spring was in full tilt. You know, then you got it by the time 2012 comes along, you have Benghazi. That happens. You know, just a continuation. And, of course, what that created was just this huge upheaval in refugees, and the refugees started to move north. And remember, it was Putin who stepped up and said, wait a minute, I'm going to go with Assad, because if we allow Syria to fall, then what it does is it just opens up a complete pathway right into the underbelly of Russia. That was his motivation, to stop ISIS.
It really boils down to Putin. If you ask Putin, who would you rather lose to? 10, you know, mom pant wearing weasels like Obama to get together in a multilateral way? Or would you rather get beat by or do business with someone straight up, one man that stands on his own two feet?
I think the other thing, too, Scott, is you cannot discount the religious aspect of what's going on here. And that is that Vladimir Putin is an Orthodox Christian. Hello? A Russian Orthodox Christian, and people don't quite understand that. Well, I think it's pretty obvious that when you're an Orthodox Christian and they're hunting Christians and killing Christians, that's probably a clue that they want to do it in your country as well and do it to you. And he's got that protection up there. And again, you've also got a Protestant in Donald Trump now. See, that this is viewed very badly by those who, in the One World Order folks who are using the religious mantra of the, you know, the various religious organizations, especially Islam and one other major Christian organization, when they're using that as the shield or the way in which they want to conquer the world through the One World Order globalist people, they stand completely opposed to anything these folks want to do. So Trump and Putin are very much aligned, and people just don't quite get that one yet, but they're about to.
That's exactly right. And, you know, we all can kind of see it. And that's what the left is fearing the most. And that's why they're doing, you know, doing all the different maneuvers that they're doing. You know, the left-wing media is asking these stupid questions like, well, is he going to give up Crimea? And it's like, look, it was Obama that gave up Crimea anyway, right, with his spineless foreign policy. But, again, that's the whole reason why people are getting scared, that the globalism is starting to fail, that the union is starting to crumble. You're seeing Italy and Poland and Hungary and Brexit all rising up and gaining traction, gaining power. By the way, the whole Sadiq Khan thing related to the blimp, you know, the bloom, that's backfiring on them. Because you know why? More people support Brexit in England and a stronger version of Brexit. And less people support whatever Sadiq Khan is spilling out. So it's backfiring on the establishment elite that thinks that somehow they're going to get their people to hate Trump. People are loving Trump in England. They love and welcome him there because he is the poster man of Brexit.
Well, the other thing, too, is, and that was a big discussion that we had yesterday. We covered that about Brexit because of the relationship, actually, to New California and some of the things that are going on with the globalists. We covered it for about an hour and a half. And that is that Theresa May, of course, is trying to save the European Union situation, which is just not going to happen. It is absolutely not going to happen. And Donald Trump coming there is going to be a big problem for them. A big problem for them.
The only credit that Theresa May gets is that she said, well, I'm going to support the will of the people, but she did it reluctantly. It's sort of like Leonora said on the show, like getting a public defender to defend you because it's your constitutional right. It doesn't mean that you're going to win, right? I mean, so they got the wrong people in charge of fighting for England when it comes to this negotiation on the Brexit and the annex away from the European Union. And they're not striking up the strong deals. It's basically sort of like a watered-down version of Brexit that they're trying to hand over. And that's not going to cut the mustard. Everybody in England knows it. And Trump comes along. Trump is going to actually promote the idea that a strong Brexit means strong bilateral relations with the United States trade. He's not going to be so dumb as to say something like Obama did, which is you'll be in the front of the line or the back of the line or whatever line, right?
Right.
You know, Obama was back of the line, right? Stupid politics from Obama. But Trump's going to make it well known that a strong Brexit means for a strong relationship with the United States.
Well, you know, I really believe that. And I think that we're going to get more information about Uranium One and, of course, what the relationship with the Hammonds was. And why, mm-hmm. And, of course, the Hammonds were really pleased that I've been telling people that for weeks that the paperwork is on the desk of the president, and he certainly came through just the other day and by giving the pardon to the Hammonds, a well-deserved pardon, by the way. That whole thing was such a setup to begin with. They should never have been jailed. They never should have been fined. We worked on that at Agenda 21 Radio just before they gave themselves up, and it was to naught, unfortunately. We tried everything we possibly could from our standpoint, but it was... you know, I'm really glad that we have the Hammonds now. That has been somewhat resolved. They're going to get their money back and hopefully their land and also the Bundys. Cliven, as you know, was he's completely cleared of everything. Judge Navarro threw everything out 2 days ago. So the word got around, and many thanks actually to Jeff Sessions. He's the unsung hero here, who did a lot of work with the Department of Justice to make these things happen, to make those pardons happen. So when people start criticizing Sessions, forget about it. Anyway, Scott, tell us how we can get a hold of you.
ScottAdamsShow.com, RedStateTalkRadio.com. I'm live every morning, 8 a.m., just before the great Paul Preston takes the helm of Agenda 21 Radio.
Awesome. Well, listen, Scott, thanks for being with us on Agenda 21 Radio.
Thank you, Paul. Take care.
Okay. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, we got a lot coming up here on Agenda 21 Radio. And remember to visit our website, agenda21radio.news. That's agenda21radio.news. And also newcaliforniastate.com. And remember, Red State Talk Radio, the talk monster of digital talk radio. We'll be right back.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 1-800-558-7297 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 1-800-558-7297 to take your call right now. Call 1-800-558-7297. That's 1-800-558-7297. Again, 1-800-558-7297.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-711-5095 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-711-5095. Again, that's 800-711-5095.
Do you have a treasure box of coins, jewelry, silverware? Ever wonder if they have any value? We offer friendly, free, fair appraisals and pay cash on the spot.
Bring them to your local coin shop, Yuba City Coin and Bullion, by the 10th Street Bridge. Always buying and selling gold, silver, and platinum jewelry, U.S. and foreign coins, sterling silverware, plaster gold.
It's a great time to make some extra cash and invest in bullion, junk silver, gold and silver ingots, eagles, and maple leaves. We specialize in all precious metals. And for you coin collectors,
and for those just starting,
we have a wide selection of type coins and currency. We're PCGS and NGC affiliated. So swing by your local coin shop, Yuba City Coin and Bullion.
438 Calusa Highway by the 10th Street Bridge. Friendly service, fair prices. Yuba City Coin and Bullion. 755 Coin.
Deep in a bunker, way behind enemy lines, broadcasting the truth about what's really going on. Agenda 21 Radio.
I'm just coming up here from the and talking to you.
And welcome back to Agenda 21 Radio. Remember to visit our website, agenda21radio.news. That's agenda21radio.news. And also, newcaliforniastate.com. Newcaliforniastate.com. We're going to be connecting the dots here with Chris Street, actually. We're going to bring him up. We were going to do this at 8 o'clock, but we're going to get this done now. This is the, I guess you would say, the start of something good, in the sense that you've got the Tim Draper issue that's going on. And right now, Chris Street is with us. And Chris, I was going to have you come on at 8 o'clock, but this is great right now because we can get this out of the way. Tim Draper has come up, and you just wrote about Tim Draper and about how he's spent so much money, actually less money this time around, at least according to the records that we have, on his new three-state proposition. Your comments.
Well, Paul, I think the guy's like any venture capitalist. He tried it in 2013, spent $5.8 million, and came up short. But venture capitalists have a nasty habit of not being confused about you know, the goal, and they come back for a second, you know, bite at the apple, but they come back smarter and quicker and faster. This time, he's put up. He's contributed a total of $1.7 million, but he's only spent $550,000 to get his signatures and get it on the ballot. It's just an example of how this topic is, you know, all wine is in its time, and this is its time.
Yeah, in terms of a state initiative, it certainly is the time right now. There's no question that there's too much talk about a state initiative at this point in time, which I really think is great, actually, because it's playing right into the hands of New California. But there's a lot of things. You've got this CalExit, you got Jefferson, you got Tim Draper, you got New California. All at one time, this has never happened before. And I think that's a welcoming thing, I guess you'd say, for the Tim Draper folks.
Well, I think that it's just he's a guy who understands business and he understands the dissatisfaction rate. Remember that I'm also writing an article about one of his consultants, you know, his name Gunster Strategies Worldwide, that managed the Brexit passage in the UK. And what Gunster said that really made him believe they could win is dissatisfaction was, you know, somewhere around 40% in the UK. Well, dissatisfaction in the US and dissatisfaction in California is closer to 60-65%. I mean, that just tells you that the right idea at the right time is going to win.
Well, you know, the notion of what he's done here, and as an originalist constitutional perspective, he's not going to succeed because it's unconstitutional and he's not following the proper course. And a lot of people are already starting to throw lawsuits at this sort of thing. Now, he's gotten himself, and this never happens if you're talking about what's going on with New California and the initiative that we have, or not the initiative, but the process that we have all set up, which is following the Constitution, Article 4, Section 3, which doesn't say anything about an election, doesn't say anything about setting up a ballot proposition, which doesn't say anything about involving the governor, which doesn't say anything about secretaries of state or attorney generals or anything like that. There's no involvement of that in a proper Article 4, Section 3 state split. Yet he seems to want to avoid all that and just take it right to the ballot and involve all those people, not looking at the Constitution, and say he's going to create three new states. See, to me, that's just not going to happen. But he's throwing money at it. And what are your comments about that?
Well, Paul, let me just give you, Jerry Gunster, who's managing the campaign, did an interview for Campaign and Elections website, and he said, you know, ballot initiatives are extremely high-stakes vehicles that are mechanisms to prompt dramatic change. And he said that they're inherently a grassroots tool that speaks to the growth of grassroots numbers and power. And then this is going to be a pretty good quote for you. Gunster adds that one advantage of a ballot initiative is that it provides a unique public stamp of approval that rarely can be reversed. I think that Draper clearly has the money and the knowledge and the lawyers to know what can be done and what can't be done. I think what he's doing is he's moving the cheese. And that's the big issue. When the cheese is moved, you know, the process can follow. But until the cheese is moved, there's not going to be a process unless there's some kind of revolution. This is a revolutionary effort, and he's burning down Sacramento.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay. So having said that, the notion of what he's talking about with all the – I mean, realistically, his approach to create three new states – can never happen, but what you're saying is that the moving the cheese is going to move it in the direction of who's there to make it happen.
Well, that's right. He's changing the reality set. You know, you're walking into the new paradigm. He understands, and he's got his consultants understand because they played this game before. You know, Gunster Associate has a 90% win rate. And they're not picking this, you know, wild California three issue up, you know, to lose. You know, this is a winning organization that does ballot initiatives for big corporations and others. And, you know, they see this as a process. And I think they're making tremendous progress. I mean, the initial poll on this was 17% for, but you could have looked at the initial polls of Brexit, and they started out at like 12%. Even before the election, you know, all the newspapers had them, you know, the Remain winning by 10%. So, you know, the one thing that politicians in Sacramento are not distracted by is the public. They've got their own agenda, and they surround themselves with their own agenda. They hire consultants that speak to their own agenda. They don't get out much.
Yeah, that's for sure. So the Draper Initiative going forward is going to be what you would say is a huge, and it already is, I think, a huge publicity boom for just the notion of having a new state and breaking apart California. That's the common ground right there.
Right.
But from a constitutional standpoint, I don't think anybody realistically thinks that that's going to happen. And knowing Draper's attitude, I think he's going to try and force the square peg through a round hole, which is not going to happen.
Well, I think, you know, I've said that New California is going to happen, not because, you know, there's some political desire by conservatives to get free. I mean, of course, there's a desire by conservatives to get free from the social justice wonderland that California has become. But what Draper's doing, he's changing the reality set. He's changing the cards in the deck, and those cards are always – every third card's going to come up Cal 3. Every time there's a problem, every time there's an issue, every time there's a dissatisfied faction, they're going to flip this card called Cal 3. So I think it has tremendous value in changing California, and I think California was going to change anyway. You know, what made California win was the economics of the last 15, 20 years – when America lost its manufacturing platform and, you know, services and tech reigned supreme. All of that is coming back. Matter of fact, today I'm looking at the exports. America's biggest oil export recipient is China.
Right.
And China
right.
just cut off U.S. oil exports. That's just going to make the deficit, you know, the terms of trade deficit, that much larger. So, you know, we're moving to a different reality.
So China just cut off the exports?
That's one of the things they're going to ban. Interesting, they banned our sixth largest export to China. You're going to love this one, is scrap and trash.
Right, right. I heard about that one, right?
Yeah. And I think in oil right now, is it was number 11 last year. I think it's up to number 5.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, they're allowing a greater amount of export. But we're exporting 300,000 barrels a day. You know, pretty much close to the production of California, we're exporting that to China every day. Now, it's coming out of Texas and such like that. But, you know, oil, I keep saying this, ladies and gentlemen, you are back to the 1880s. In the 1880s, oil took off in the U.S., and we proceeded to destroy the British Empire, the greatest empire, you know, on the face of the planet, and went on until we lost that advantage in the 70s. All that is coming back. Next year, we will be the largest producer of oil on the planet.
In 12 months?
Probably within 6.
Wow.
Six to eight is the expectation. It would be faster, Paul, but you literally run out of pipeline in the Permian Basin area. You have they're going to build 2 million barrels a day more pipeline. But they won't be finished with that until, you know, July, August of 2019. Then it's going to jump again.
And that pipeline is in Permian Basin. Explain to the audience where that is.
Well, there's three pipelines they're building in the Permian Basin, but nobody thought America would this month be exporting, you know, 10.9 million barrels a day, let alone the idea that it's going to be 11.8 by this time next year and probably 12.6 by the year after.
But the issue that comes up, where is the Permian Basin, first of all? Let people know where that is.
Permian Basin, sort of like, you know, North Texas up to Oklahoma. That's the Permian Basin. That's at west, Northwest Texas up to Oklahoma.
Okay. And anyway, so, but what now, California, in terms of its oil production, that's one of the things I wanted to ask you about also. What's the, what's going on with California?
What say you, right?
Right.
What say you? What I say is you need 2 years of El Nino rains, and guess what, Paul? You're on the verge of another El Nino.
Mm-hmm.
Next year will be an El Nino. You get 2 years in a row, you'll have so much water, you'll have so much flooding, you'll have so much disaster that everybody's going to say, we need to cure this problem. And as soon as you build above ground water storage, you're going to have the water you need to frack in California. Now, California's got a better sort of structure than other places do for oil drilling,
right?
Because it's normally, you know, shallower depths, and it's mostly sand, which means you don't have to have rock drills. Generally don't have to have rock drills, but over time, you know, the next party is going to be in California. It's going to be in the Monterey Shale.
Mm-hmm.
Just hasn't arrived yet because the other areas were inviting you. Texas invites you, you know, North Dakota invites you. These are states with massive current surpluses. You know, California, they find every reason to tax and do crazy stuff and import oil, and guess where it's been coming from? It's been coming from Iran and Iraq. California has been Iran and Iraq's biggest client for oil imports.
Well, you know, it's very interesting to think that you talk about the Monterey Shale, that the very terminal point of the Monterey Shale sits above ground anyway, a place called the Jerry Brown Ranch in Colusa County.
Yes. One of the richest deposits of shale structure. I think there's seven different shale structures there. You know, these things are stratified as you go down.
Right.
But, you know, Jerry Brown is in the sweetest spot for oil drilling. He even used the state of California's resources to drill, to find his geology for water. And what people have got to understand is that shale drilling, fracking, requires lots and lots of water. You can use it over and over again, but it's a lot better if you have it on your own property than importing it. He's got three perfect well sites that he can do his own fracking.
Well,
I mean,
actually,
Jerry Brown's a great guy. Made his money in oil, and now he's an environmentalist.
Yeah, and the other thing, too, is it actually, because I actually talked to the well drillers, he has eight new water wells. Eight.
Right.
Count them, eight. And that was a result of him actually using state, geologists and so on to get that information about his property, his own personal property in Colusa County, which is kind of interesting.
It sounds like he's dealing those cards. You know, I said the cards are rolling for Cal 3. Jerry just deals them off the bottom, and that's all.
That's right.
Because he can.
Because he can, because he's got the deck of cards.
Because he's a dealer.
Right, right. Yeah, of course, that's going to all change. Let's talk about, for a second, what that's going to look like for governor. And what are you hearing out there?
I'm not really hearing anything. But I know that Cox is writing this, cutting the gas tax, you know, like it was, the fastest horse in the Kentucky Derby.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody, you know, the problem with this election is that it's just different. You know, the standard Republican, line of all cut taxes is gone.
Right.
This one, I'll actually do something. That's new.
Mm-hmm.
Promising you're going to cut taxes as a minority, it's a big joke. The voting out the gas tax is a $5 billion a year headache for the state of California. Whoever the new governor is, he may be pretty, but he isn't prepared to find $5 billion.
Well, what about also the downturn that's coming for California and the dividends and all the taxes that are going to be not coming in from Silicon Valley?
Well, that's right, Paul. You know, California right now, instead of being run on oil, is being run on capital gains, mostly out of Silicon Valley. You know, they went from $11.8 billion in 2009, I believe, to $2.7 billion by 2011. You know, so they went down 80%.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, they're $18 billion. So if they go down 80%, that would be what, three?
Yep.
Okay. So at three, they lose $15 billion of revenue. The entire payroll and benefits of the state of California is $10 billion. How do you fire 150% of employees?
And the time frame for that is the next 18 months?
whenever the market stops going up, doesn't have to go down. That's now, if you had a really bad recession, mm-hmm. it'd be even worse. I mean, Jerry Brown should be down, you know, licking the shoes. Jerry Brown, the Democrat, should be licking the shoes of President Donald Trump
That's correct.
For his tax cuts, which drove the market up.
Yeah, and California benefited by that big time, and continues. So the but this is going to be what I'm getting at is the next governor, no matter how pretty he is, as you say, I like that. No matter how pretty he is, and you know, I've actually met Gavin Newsom and his lovely wife actually, and they are very pretty couple together.
Very nice looking couple. Yes,
absolutely stunning, actually.
Right. It's sort of a box of rocks when you talk to him.
I'd say a box of a rock.
A rock.
Okay. Anyway, but this is going to be a very difficult thing for the new governor to be able to deal all these things with, because the lack of money that he's going to be feeling at some point in time. He's going to probably have to dive into available money, and the only place that's going to be is in the retirement systems.
Well, he can't really do that one, Paul. You know, he's going to have to do something called cutting spending. And, you know, his idea of cutting spending is a $400 billion healthcare, you know, Medicare for all type deal. So I don't think he's, you know, if you got him in the room and you asked him, how do these numbers work, he'd go, numbers?
What are those?
We have checks.
Yeah. We have checks, so we must have money.
Right.
Yeah. So this is the key thing of concern, of course, to everybody, is timing for all this to sort of happen when the great collapse comes. And I guess even if there is a three-state split, that plays into that very well as well, doesn't it?
Yes, but here's my forecast, and I've said it a number of times. I believe that China is going to do the hokey pokey with the U.S. on trade, and then give Donald Trump a really big, great trade win. You know, late September, early October, just in time for the elections.
Uh-huh.
So China thinks they'll get a better deal if they, you know, put a big bow on a huge box and send it to the American people in September, October. But if you look at their stock markets, you look at their financial markets, you look at their internal costs of production and such like that, inflation is on fire in China.
Mm-hmm.
They're running out of the capacity to subsidize. They've already lost $1 trillion in foreign exchange. They've got about $2.8 trillion right now. People go, wow, $2.8 trillion. But in their size of economy, just to make the checks clear in trade, you need $2 trillion in cash. That's what it is when stuff's on the water and floating. You've got to have that $2 trillion under your reserves. Today, China's stock market's down 2%. You know, America's is down 1%. I mean, the bottom line, a trade war hasn't hurt America, and it's killing China.
Right. Yeah, a lot of people don't understand. And again, we bring you on to sort of correct the record about what is going on in China. Their backs are against the wall, really, in many respects. And Donald Trump gets that. And, you know, your position is that being with actually, you were part of the Peter Navarro movie, actually called Death by China.
That's free, folks. You can watch it on, just go to the internet. We made it free after Navarro went into government.
Yeah, and so it really does lay out the whole scenario. I know when I watched it for the first time, I thought, wow, that was a couple years ago, too. But how accurate has Peter Navarro been? And you?
Well, we had a commonality of interest. He was at UCI, I'm in Newport Beach, and you know, I've written on this starting in 2010, and you know, we were sort of fellow travelers, and we got together and completely agreed. I mean, I think the Chinese people are wonderful people. I think they're actually a fun-loving, wonderful group of people that has had a lot of fun and have been able to buy lots of nice clothes and cars and things like that, all because they've had a massive banking boom. Now, that cheap labor from the countryside and the banking boom, eventually you run out of ability to get people satisfied with two bowls of rice, especially when those bowls of rice are going up in cost.
Yeah,
China
yeah.
has inflation. That, you know, in China, normally inflation creates revolution.
Yeah, and that's something that Xi Jinping wants to keep a handle on. You know, also, you know, let's talk about your bona fides, because you actually work with the Chinese government right now. You consult with them.
Well, I consult with them. I lecture their top executives when they come to the U.S. and all of their top bureaucrats, and I had their Supreme Court 9 months ago, because they want somebody who gives an articulate presentation on what America's plan is and how this might affect China. Now, I give my lecture and say this is an American perspective by someone who's called a heterodox, and that means outside the mainstream, economist, but I tend to be right, and people tend to listen to me because I'm not looking at what's happening in the last, you know, 2 to 3 years. I'm looking at what I call the wave. And if you're on the wave right now, it's sort of like standing on the beach and there's a 20-foot wave and you could see it starting to crest and you can't run away from it. That's what China is. They've had a lot of fun. It's been a great ride, but every great ride like this, built on a massive banking boom, has ended in tears. I think China can manage that, but they can't manage it without lots and lots of pain.
So, and that's what you're advising them.
Well, I'm telling them that three things. First of all, that you can't compete with American energy costs at a third to a quarter of yours, because energy is 13.5% of manufacturing input, and labor and overhead is only 8.5%. So, if America has a 3-4% cost of energy and they have a 9%, they could give away all of their labor and still wouldn't be competitive. That's mm-hmm. the real problem, is the arithmetic doesn't work. Not algorithms, Paul, arithmetic.
So, not to pry into what you tell them or what happens when they're, but when you talk to them, what is their response? Do they get it, and do they want to try and do something about it for their own country, or what's the attitude from them?
Okay, years ago, every once in a while, probably every three classes, somebody'd be really angry and mad.
Yes. Okay, I get that. Yeah.
Okay. So I mean, but now they've kind of all heard, and they're kind of curious, and I give it my lectures. And I do this for corporate. You'd be amazed how many dumb American corporate CEOs haven't figured out the arithmetic. They may have graduated from Wharton and Harvard. Unfortunately, they didn't go to Stanford like I did. But they can't figure out anything but what's right in front of their nose. I mean, when you're a CEO, and I've been a CEO, it's not what you see that's the issue. It's like the iceberg. I see a little ice. It's what's underwater.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Supposed to be looking for the big one underwater.
So, quickly, because I want to, we got the hour coming up here, and I know you got to go. But as China goes down, California and New California are going to go up. Basically, that's what's going to happen.
Well, no. As China goes down, California, old California, it's like connected by the anchor. You know, they won because of all the import export. They won because of all, you know, the activity in China for, you know, buying computers and iPhones.
Right.
You know, as China goes down, they're not going to go down as in going away. They're going to retrench. But Silicon Valley can't take that. I mean, in the port of
gotcha.
L.A.,
right.
You're already seeing a number of containers falling radically.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, Chris, tell us how we can get a hold of you, because it's really important to get a hold of Chris Street.
Breitbart, California. I've got a very interesting article today on China stopping the import of trash. As I said, it was America's sixth largest export to China. China cut it off.
Yeah. Anyway, Chris, thanks a lot for being with us on Agenda 21 Radio.
Great to be with you, Paul.
Awesome. Okay, that was Chris Street, and of course, we really appreciate Chris being with us. He advises New California and all the things that we are doing. So we're really happy to have him back on with us. And the Chinese angle for it, and this is the key thing, as things start to happen in China, what's going to happen in Silicon Valley and tax revenues in California, they're going to tumble. So hang on. Hang on. Anyway, thanks for listening to Agenda 21 Radio, and please visit our website, agenda21radio.news, and also newcaliforniastate.com, newcaliforniastate.com. When we come back, we're going to talk more about what is really truly going on in New California. Anyway, as we say at this time of the radio show, stay strong, America. Stay strong. We are exceptional Americans.
to the last vestiges of freedom, democracy, and the American way of life. Paul Preston with Agenda 21.
You're listening to Paul Preston's Agenda 21 Radio. Stay tuned for more of Paul Preston's Agenda 21 Radio.